All right, we're here. Funk and Focus podcast, dance and dialogue. This all stemmed from Urban Artistry's Preservatory project, where we've been for years documenting the stories and voices of different contributors to street dance. And specifically, I do a lot of the interviews with popping, you know, people that have made an impact in their countries and cities with the popping dance. So I'm super excited. Today we got Lloyd Marengo out of the Netherlands here. And I'm going to be interviewing him today. We've got a chance to meet at Planet Popping. Yeah. I guess it was 2022, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah. Or 23, something like
that. Something like that. Yeah. Pretty recent. And I was like, oh, we got to do this. I really want to have you for the podcast to hear more of the story from the Europe perspective and from the Netherlands specifically perspective. And we're finally getting on here to make it happen today. So thank you for being with us, man. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. It's a pleasure.
So I just want to jump right into it and chopping it up with you. I'm curious, like, if just to start it out, if you wouldn't mind kind of like painting a picture of what it was like finding street dance in the Netherlands for you and what it was like at the time that you found it. What was it like at that time?
Then I have to bring you back to the 80s.
Okay.
And it was a very great time because I didn't know that it would call like b-boying or popping, you know. I just saw like guys in my neighborhood dancing on cardboard, doing moonwalk, doing like robotics, spinning on their back, you know. And these guys, they're like around 83, 84. They were like the main dancers in Holland, you know, because you had like the dynamic rockers, you had all-star breakers, you did have MC rockers, you know, street kids, street force. And I was like a young cat at that time, you know. So I was really looking up to these guys, you know. So for me, it was an amazing and a very important time, really.
And what were you guys inspired by? Was it movies you were seeing, or was there like dancers from the States that came out there, or how were you guys getting that information and all that?
Like one of these dancers, his name is Edson Tamen. He's like one of the first dancers in the Netherlands. And sometimes we still meet, and he told me like the way that he did connect it with like breaking and popping came from the guys from the US. They were like in army in the Netherlands, and then these guys went to clubs. These guys were like dancing, you know, and this is how they get in contact with the styles and the dancing. So actually, it really came from America.
Was that like the mid-80s when this was happening, when the information was passing over there?
I think, if I'm right, it would be like around 82, something like this. Okay. 82, maybe 81, yes. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Because that's even before some of the movies, like Breaking.
Yeah, man. Because I can remember when these guys saw like Breaking and Beat Street, this was already like maybe 84, something like that.
Yeah.
84, maybe 85, you know. Even I saw Beat Street very late. I think the first time I saw Beat Street was maybe at 85 or something, maybe 86. Because the thing was, like now everything is fast, but back then you needed to have like a video player,
right?
You know, you needed to have the contacts, you know. Right. And I was like very young. I didn't went out to go to like the movie theater, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to wait till the tape came out there.
How old were you when you started? And what year was it when you started?
I think that now I'm 50. So I'm from 73. So when I really get the chance to get in contact with breaking and popping, it was at least at 83, something like this.
83.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So yes. You're seeing all these like crews you were mentioning, like street shows, or like where are they doing the dance?
Yeah, like, and this was funny because I lived back then, I lived in the center of Rotterdam. So when I was watching outside of my window, I could see these guys dancing on the street, you know? So it was like, you know, and my mom was like, no, you're not going outside. It's late. And it's this, and these guys were like, you know, pumping their music with Herbie Hancock, you know, the track Rocket, you know, and like hearing all these kind of things. It was like, it was really crazy. And it affected me a lot, you know?
That's so cool.
Yeah, crazy, man. Really crazy.
Did you have any like direct mentors when you started really getting into it, or teachers?
No, to be honest, I was like dancing with my cousins, with my little brother. You know, when you're going to like a family, a big party, I was wearing like my gloves, the small glasses, you know, because you wanted to show off, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't have like really like a mentor, but like the guys like Paulo Nunes, because I lived on in the same street like him. So he could teach me sometimes some movements, you know? But you already learn at young age that a lot of things you have to do by yourself. You know, when it comes to hip hop, you have to develop yourself, you know? So yeah. I was very happy and excited that these guys were teaching me small things, but the rest you also have to do by yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a different time and era right there. Right now, everything right there. But I mean, even with me a little bit, right, it was still the VHS tapes. If you could get your hand on one in the late 90s and like hoping there would be an event you could meet.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. But yeah,
like,
man.
When did it start to grow out in Holland? Like, when you did you start seeing events at a certain period for breaking, or like would people gather at clubs or street shows, or would they go to events?
Yeah, like these guys were like older than me. They were like, when I was like 8 years old, nine, they were already like 15 and 16 years old. So these guys were sometimes going already to Belgium or to France, because they were like, yeah, they were like really like top dancers, you know, like doing competitions, you know? So this is also a lot of these stories I heard also from Paulo Nunes, and also from Edson and from Jeffrey Roberts. It's a guy from Amsterdam, and they've been telling me all these stories for years and years, you know, things that they have been through, you know, beautiful things that I've seen, you know. And also what is funny, like I can remember that also Storm, he told me that he came in the 80s also to the Netherlands, you know, to get in contact with the b-boying and with Paulo and all these guys, you know.
Yeah.
So it was like a kind of coming and going also for the older cats, you know. Me as a young guy, I'm sorry, but I could not go. I would love to go, but my mom would kill me, man. Yeah.
Right. So, like, when, like, you're talking about that, the person that was teaching you a few things here and there, but you were kind of also building your own style and things like
that. Yeah, man. Yes.
That was just like, we're just dancing. You would do some breaking and some popping, or was it? No, I'm doing just popping, or
no, breaking and popping. You know, back then, when all these things started, most of these guys, they were doing like breaking and popping, most of them,
right?
You know, and I was also one of these guys later on that were doing like breaking and popping together, you know.
Okay.
So when like the like when the b-boying really had like how can I say it more to the end of the 80s, there were like no b-boying really in the Netherlands anymore. Not really. There were like some dancers. Most of these guys starting to do rapping and doing stand-up dancing.
Interesting.
You know? Yes. So there were like a few guys, and I also saw them in clubs. You know? They were still practicing, but it was completely on a different level than the French guys and the German guys and Belgium. You know? So when around the 90s, when I met Paolo again, he told me like that he was sometimes do judging for competition in Germany. And he saw like the level was very high. And we saw it around 96, 97, when we started to go to Belgium and France and Battle of the Year and Germany. This was the time that we get really shocked. We were like really shocked because, you know, at Battle of the Year, then at that time, there were like many, many crews from outside of countries. And these guys had like amazing levels. And you could see also the difference also with popping and breaking, you know?
Yeah.
You could see the difference. But between the 80s and the mid-90s, I was dancing, like stand-up dancing, and the background dancer of like an MC group, you know? Yeah.
Dang, okay, I got a few questions from all of that info.
Yeah, man.
First off, what was the name of that group you were backup dancing?
Yeah, the name of the group was DCO.
Okay.
DCO, yes. And they had like two dancers. They were like one of the best. They were like Jazz and K1. You know? And these guys inspired me a lot, you know? And when these guys stopped with dancing, the MC of the group, he's like a kind of my brother. He asked me, yeah, Lloyd, would you like to participate in our group? So sometimes when we have like a performance, we would like to have you as a background dancer, you know? So I was starting doing my background dancing, you know, while these guys are like rapping, you know?
And that background dancing was like you just like, getting down, right?
Yeah,
and
old style.
What think it is now, like a certain type of choreography. Would you guys just be, you would just be getting down, just doing
it? Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing was, there were like, the guy, like the one I told you, like Jazz, he was also dancing with two young dancers, also practicing with them. And their name were like McCool and Chaos. And they had a style that was really familiar with popping. They were doing a lot of waving stuff. A lot of things with their hands, you know, like tutting, but really in a whole completely different way. And connecting it with footwork.
Whoa.
And it was something that they created by themselves. So like the movement, the waving and stuff did already start to came back. And it became a familiar dance in Rotterdam, but it really came from these guys. So I was practicing it myself as well.
Interesting.
It was really crazy, man, bro. I'm telling you.
Were there like a lot? Would you say that back at that time, there was more people that were doing that had like very unique styles? Like
yeah, man.
Very different.
Yeah, really unique styles. You had Marvin, Ferlin, you know, McCool, Chaos, Jazz, K1, Andy, Hergen, you know, a lot of the kin, Mello, Cedric. You had a lot of crazy dancers. And like the creativity was the first thing, was very important.
Right.
Musicality and creativity.
Nice.
And the style, how you dressed, how you dance. You know, you always wanted to be different than the rest.
Yeah.
And because of there were like no, not a lot of information, like footage, there was no, there was not like too much content. These guys had to do it also by themselves.
Right.
So when I'm practicing, I also had to do a lot of things by myself or with my cousin or with my friends. But you had to develop a lot of things by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm really big on that. Like I'm really into like the uniqueness and the individuality of the dance. I feel like maybe it could be better in this generation.
Yeah. Oh, look
at the older generation. Everybody looks like such an individual.
Yeah, man.
I mean, do you see, I mean, of course it's not all, that's not always a negative thing that things have changed and evolved and grown, but is there things that you really appreciate about the early era that you maybe wish could be implemented into what's going on now?
Man, I'm telling you, when I went to, because me and my brothers, and sometimes with my crew, we went to France. When we saw the dancers from France, they were like always original. A lot of originality in their styles, their dancing, the way they approach the dance. And also when I went to Germany, I saw a lot of technique, you know, crazy technique, strong technique. And it was very nice, but because you could see the difference between those countries, you know? So if you ask me if there was something that was like special about that era, I would say like that, you know?
That's interesting. Yeah, like each country's flavor, you could clearly
Really flavor. It was crazy. Dope.
What would you say Netherlands' general flavor was compared to the other countries?
You know, in the Netherlands, we have a lot of nationalities. You know? That normally would came outside of the country. They've been born in the Caribbean, you know? So they already have some kind of flavor that is already in their culture.
Yeah.
So when these guys and girls are dancing, they are always add this type of flavor to the style. Something that's already in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's already in your culture, you know? So we had a lot of crazy dancers, men and women. You know, a lot of personalities, men and women.
That's,
you know?
I mean, even in the past 15 years, 10, 15 years, when I first ended up coming to the Netherlands a few times, I think I can feel what you're talking about, actually.
Yeah, man.
There's something about... when I come to the Netherlands, I feel like people have a level of funkiness that I don't, I feel the diversity there, and I feel like there's more flavor. I can't explain it, but it feels like there's more swag sometimes underneath what people are doing. And about the Netherlands, I feel sometimes I'm like, almost feel like I'm in the States for a moment when I'm there. I'll be like, oh, there's so many funky, different type of people. Like, this is dope. And I forget I'm over there, but I like that about.
And to be honest, you know, when we could grab a hold on the material that is coming from the States, it really inspired a lot of dancers, you know? You know, the States is a big, you know, it's a big country, a lot of people. A lot of different people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really familiar with the things that are happening with all these type of nationalities in the Netherlands.
Yeah. You
know? The approaching of the dance is completely different.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of mixed people, also like mixed races, you know? A lot of things. And you can say whatever you want, but when it's in your DNA already, you will see it when this person starts to dance.
Yeah, 100%. You know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I can feel that. So that was apparent even back in the day.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. And now, to be honest, when I see these guys dancing now, I can see that it's coming back, you know? No, it's coming back. It's coming back. Like, yeah. People want to try and want to be different than the rest,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But to be honest, because we have this type of, you know, a lot of information with social media, it
yeah.
affects you also in true. Your development. It affects you, you know? When you like how somebody is dancing or this person is dancing, it will affect you because you're watching this person maybe too much.
Sure.
You see?
Yeah.
So, but when we talk with this young generation, we always tell them, like, try to be yourself, you know? Try to find this person in you, you know? Try to make the difference when you're on the dance floor.
Yeah, that's the greatest advice. Like,
yeah.
I've found personally that it starts over time, it starts to feel like people won't be vulnerable to show who they are. Like, they have this fear to do that. So they'll mask it with dancing like someone else, or with being like, this is the best way to do popping. I'm a this style.
Yeah.
Box himself into a style. I'm that style instead of I'm me dancing and I do these styles.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are like teaching folks in a good way out there. And that's why I say when I come there, I can tell. So let's talk about that. Like, who you start. So you were one of the three people that started Hip Hop House. Could you talk about that? That impacted the next generation of street dancers?
Yeah, like we had, like, in 2001, we were like fixing up this building, make it more like kind of hip hop type energy, you know, because it inspired you as well, you know, the place that you're practicing or teaching around you. And in 2002, we opened the Hip Hop House. And I was like teaching, like popping, and like in a certain moment we had like more like 400 students a week. In the beginning it was different, but as soon as the Hip Hop House starts to grow and grow and grow, it was amazing. You know, we had a lot of boys and girls doing popping and also breaking, and most of them are still dancing or teaching or doing things in theater, you know. It was like in the beginning a tough time because I had to find also inspiration some places because I was the teacher, one of the teacher of the, you know, the popping teacher. So I had to find inspiration. So I was talking a lot with my friends from Belgium, Mike Alvarez.
Oh yeah.
And he was telling me a lot of things, you know. Sometimes he came to Rotterdam and we were watching like also material from Mr. Wiggles explaining stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Pete the Rabbit explaining stuff, you know, Popping Pete. I also were like taking class from Popping Pete when I was at Breaking Convention in London.
Right.
So all this information was very important for me, so I could bring it back also to my students, you know?
Right.
You see, so at that time it went like that.
Who were some of those students? Because I'm sure, you know, some people watching this might know people like Popeye and Tawatha.
Yeah. Popeye, Tawatha, Leo, Rajiv, Jill. We had also like Hip Hop Lady Dore, Leslie. There came a lot of dancers came from there, you know? Yeah. Let me think before I forget people. Wow. I've got a few names, but you were amazing.
If you remember them later, you know, I can
write
it in the caption or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a huge contribution, right? Like so many of those dancers are teaching and doing great things. And, you know, I've met a bunch of them when they've traveled here and they're like still learning, still growing and still like making their own contributions. So kudos.
And yeah, also Gerson, you know, he's also like a kind of singer, but he's sometimes also dancing with Nea. And Nea became also like one of the students from Popeye again, you know, like all these guys that I just named or mentioned, they were also teaching. So they brought also a new generation, a lot of them dancing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Just a little quick rewind.
Yeah, man.
I did want to ask you about like how you kind of developed your, what your personal style, like as a popper, like what were the styles you were into and what kind of became your signature things?
Yeah. I liked to do boogaloo.
Okay.
And also like popping, but I really loved waving.
Yeah.
Yeah, waving, you know, I loved to do waving, robotics, you know, and because back then I didn't have these bad knees like I have them now. So you were like trying to do crazy stuff, you know, turning, going down, going up, stay the rhythm of the music, you know, try to develop yourself each time over and over again. But these were like my really familiar things and the things that I really love to do, like popping, boogaloo, waving. And waving most of the time.
Yeah. And for folks watching this or hearing this later, like go check him out on YouTube. Like one of my favorite ones that you did was the Funkin' Styles Judge Showcase.
Where, yeah, yeah.
The waves are crazy in that one.
Yeah, yeah. Waves and you know what? Because when we were like in the 90s, in the mid 90s, there were like a lot of friends, dancers from Paris or France came also to Rotterdam. And we were always also going to Châtelet Hall, you know? And these guys were always talking about flexible waving, you know?
Interesting.
Like, for instance, when I met Salah, he was like 17 years old. You know, he was a young guy. And he was like amazing, crazy, you know? So I also learned how to be really precisely with your waving. Really starting at the fingertips. I really need to end at your toes, for instance, you know? So I really love that. So, yeah, man, I really get inspired by these guys and the German guys and the guys from Belgium and, of course, the guys from the States when I get hold on the tapes, you know? So for me, flexible waving was amazing.
What was... Outside of like Skeet and Pete, you said you got some inspiration there. Who were like the most influential European folks for you? Like, I mean, I know Damon was out there. Did you?
Yeah, Damon.
Damon, and was there others?
But also like Mr. Steen from Denmark.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it for sure. They had also like a crazy showcase. I think it was 2004 or 2003 something at Battle of the Year, Steen and Josephine.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yep, definitely saw that.
You know? And also like you had a lot of crazy dancers also. What is it? Walid also from France. You know, they were like guys that you were seeing when you were going somewhere on or tapes or whatever. So these guys, and of course Damon, you know, the old footage from Damon in the 80s, man, you know, it's not normal anymore.
No,
you know, it's crazy, you know. And of course these guys inspired me really a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So when we had the time and the money, we were like in the hip hop house, always trying to get people over as a guest teacher.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I remember that also one time we had Damon as well.
Oh, you know?
Nice. Yeah, it was crazy. It was nice. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I'm like super connected with Damon and Steen and also Thomas as well. Especially those are like three of my biggest inspirations and kind of big homies. So, you know, we talk about Out of Control, the crew, and
what. And these guys, you know, when you talk with them, they are really like damn smart, you know?
Yes.
They are really damn smart. And this is very important, really.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They can really, they really understand what they're
doing
on a high level. The awareness level of what's going on is very intelligent.
Yeah, exactly. They are really intelligent about the dancing. They are not just dancing.
Yeah.
They are really intelligent. And this is very nice, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So did you, when you would create things, right, like different waves and things like that, would you get an idea from somebody, go and flip it? Would you name styles? Would that help you remember? Or would you name some of your moves? What was your like creative process for like?
No, to be, Future, to be honest, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. I always dance like freestyle, you know, because, I think it's also a little bit something like culture wise.
Yeah.
When I was like very young, you know, your parents put on music, you're just dancing.
Yeah.
And it kept in me, you know, and also the idea of hip hop, like keep on developing yourself each time over and over again.
Yeah.
So for me, like doing freestyle, even if I had to perform or whatever it was, I was always using the music as my guidance, you know?
Nice.
And sometimes it worked out very well because then you can do stuff that you will even be shocked of.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But and the other way of this is also that sometimes you get stuck in some kind of movement because your body's already used to it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so but I love to dance always freestyle. You know what pops up in me? This is what I was dropping.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, man.
That's like probably the best way to just be spontaneous and in the moment and be yourself that day at that time, like dancing.
Yeah, man.
From
yeah.
the heart, really. You know.
Yeah, and it's also I think it's something that also came of going to a club. Suddenly, you hear music. You start to dance. You know, you're just doing stuff. So it's a kind of, how can I say it? A kind of club energy, you know, you're just dancing because the music drives you crazy, you know?
Did, another rewind, what were some of those clubs in the early era for the Netherlands that dancers or yourself were going to and getting down at?
I know that before I could go out to clubs before my mom would kill me, I know that the older generation would go to many crazy places, you know, and these guys were talking about Akhenaton, they were talking about Kwaku, you know, there were like different places that the people were like organizing dances. Later on, people will go like, there was also a club like Blutikin, Imperium. There were clubs in like, in Amsterdam, you know, Metropole, all these type of different clubs. And I went to it later on, like, when I started to go to these places, I was already like around 17 years or something like this, you know? Yeah.
Got you. Cool.
Yeah, man.
I just asked that because, you know, that also like the club culture here in DC definitely formed my dancing a lot. Like I also like to like, I have a lot of like systems and like ideas, but I'm always using them spontaneously in the moment as if I'm at the club with my crew. I'm always trying to recreate that energy because it's like it's just feel good vibe, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It was one of the best time of my life.
Right.
You know, because at that time you're young, you're living at your mama's place. You have nothing to worry about, just dancing, you know?
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yes.
For sure, man. For sure. Let's see. I think probably wanted to ask you about the term popping a little bit. Like, you know, everybody kind of defines it a little bit differently. And even I think early era, a lot of European dancers I talked to, they say that originally people called it electric boogie out there.
Yeah, true. Yes. Yeah.
Was that a thing in the Netherlands?
Yeah, man. Okay. 100%. Yeah.
So why did like a lot of you guys over there first call it electric boogie? It was the movies, right? Like the hip hop movies.
I think it came from the movie, and also the kind of, you know, there was like people were also like, you know, at that time it was like very new in Holland.
Yeah.
And people were also connecting it with getting electricity, you know, and start doing waving stuff.
Yeah.
And people were calling like electric boogie or electric boogaloo.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's true. Okay. Later on, as far as I know, they start to call it popping.
When did that happen? When did that start to happen for you guys?
I think for my personally, it came more when I start to hearing this much more and more, was more to the mid 90s.
Okay.
That was for me.
Yeah.
But I know like these guys like Jeffrey Roberts, Edson Tamen, Popski, Mr. Solo, Werner Solo. These guys were talking about popping already. You know?
Yeah.
Born in the 80s, more to the end. You know, they were talking about already. But for me, it became more clear in the mid-90s when I start to meet also different people and they were explaining to me what is important when you do popping. You know?
What were they saying was important?
Like the muscle contraction, the specific part, like the bicep, the triceps.
You know,
how to pop with your legs, you know, with your chest, you know, sometimes from your neck,
right?
You know, all these kind of things, you know, and try to be the boss of your muscles, you know. you pop them on a specific moment when you want to pop them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, you know, you know popping can go sky high, you know? Mm. Some guys are so perfect and so specific in their popping that, yeah.
Mm. You were telling me at Planet Popping that I was asking you about, like, if it felt like there was more or less creativity nowadays with popping, but you said you thought that there's still a lot of creativity, but one thing that's different is that the focus of the muscle contraction more consistently is different than back in the day. It's something like that, something along those lines.
Yeah, because I think we have a lot of content at the moment, we have a lot of people on the internet explaining you how to use your body wisely when you do popping, you know? So it's like a universal teacher, the internet,
right?
You know? And back then, you really had to develop something, you know? You're feeling something and then you have to develop it. You have to make it your own.
Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to work out very well because you're just trying something that you saw on another person, you know?
Right.
And now you have so much dancers, you know, that there is too much evidence that if you practice it very well, it works out very well.
Right. There's more formulas now.
Yeah, a lot, you know?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's, yeah, Definitely a change of the times, but I'm sure there was like good and bad in that experimenting, like let's try this with that. Let's
For
see what
sure.
Happens. Like,
For sure. You know,
good stuff.
If you see like what guys are doing just with the fingers nowadays, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? Back then you were just using your arms, you know, your hand, bam. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, you got all these small specific parts that you can use, you know?
Yeah.
People are using the eyes, the ears, the mouth, every crazy thing, you know? They can do amazing stuff with their body, you know? And it's very nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how people can, like, get so specific, but it can open up a large realm of creativity based on...
Yes. Yeah. And then when they found out something specifically, then they can make it a style on its own, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
They can make it a style on its own and then it keep developing itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel like we're at a point in popping where like it is getting like some people are choosing to just say, I'm just a cup and I'm just a waiver and I'm just a this and I'm just
yes. Yeah.
People are just saying, I'm just gonna do that. And
yeah, exactly.
When what it sounds like is when you started and people called it electric boogie and then popping, but people were doing like electric things, water thing, like mixing it
everything.
Up. It was when I started too, actually, in the late 90s. Like my generation, we were watching Wiggles. So
he was
a bunch of different stuff. So we were just all here on the East Coast, like doing ground moves and waves and pop,
man.
All these things. I still like love and appreciate that energy, that freedom that we had at that time. But it's also cool, like, to see things getting more specific and people pushing certain lanes and seeing like
for sure. Yeah, man, I'm with you on this.
Cool, man. So let me see where I'm at in my notes here. So you also now currently have like a theater company, right? You do theater in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about like how that all started and what you're doing?
Yeah, man. When we were like dancing in the mid 90s, we had a crew called O&O B-Boys. And with this crew, we were like traveling, you know, going to see other dancers. And at one moment in 1998, I saw a piece from Rennie Harris from Philadelphia, Pure Movements. This one was in 98 in Den Haag, in a city in the Netherlands. And he was like dancing there. I know for sure that Brian Green was dancing in his piece and Cricket. And it was crazy. So I was so inspired by him that me and my crew, we participated in the 99 with a company called Scapino Ballet and also Connie Janssen and also Jessex. So we were like dancing in three companies. So I was learning a lot about theater.
Yeah.
And fast forward 2004, I get the chance to make a small theater piece with Kader and Brahim. At that time, they were dancing in a French company, AcroRap. So this was a very nice experience. So I kept trying doing choreography in theater. And in 2009, I did also a piece with B-Boy Cisco and Rabani. We were like really working together. It was like a duet. And from there on, I did different pieces also with French guys. in combination with Menno, Gasama from Death Dogs, and it was like a success. We went to Breaking Convention, we were performing at Battle of the Year, so it was a success, and I kept doing it and creating and creating. So I started my company actually in 2015, the first time. But there was also a lot of TV show, dancing shows on TV, and I was also a part of that, you know, with choreography or coaching. So I really picked it up again, I think, in 2019 or 20. And since then, I kept making, like, theater pieces, and we are traveling, and we're doing well, you know, under my own name. Yeah. Because before, I did it for different companies, you know?
Yeah,
they were hiring me, and I was making choreography for them.
Right,
and now we have like Lloyd's Company. You can check it out on Instagram.
Yeah,
and one of our latest show that we're doing, it's not with B-boys, but it's with South African dancers. These guys are dancing Pansula. It's also a street style, you know.
Yes,
from the 50s, and we have our premiere the 10th of October in the Netherlands. And so I've been traveling many times to South Africa to work together with these guys. And we have a tour with them. And they're going to do a tour from October till end of November. Yeah, man, it's crazy. And what I love to do, it's most of my dancers are like underground dancers. They come from the scene, like Battle Cats, you know, boy, girl, whatever it is, you know. And I try to keep an eye on the culture and making a bridge between like the underground and the theater for the dancer who want to participate or doing stuff in theater. So I'm also coaching them, guiding them, you know, to make sure that the spectrum of hip hop is only getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's amazing work. And those are great opportunities for people. Like it's a little bit not as common in the States. Like I feel like when I went to the Netherlands, I was surprised there was more theater people saying I do theater or I'm.
Yeah.
But it's
and there is
going.
Little by little, there is more funding, you know, from the government as well, you know. And supporting hip hop culture, you know, it's not that big as we would love to see it, but we're going there, you know.
Yeah.
It's growing, you know.
And right now, you're doing the piece with the Pansula dancers, and you're doing things with street dancers.
Yes. So now I'm doing the show with the Pansula dancers. These guys are the Soweto skeleton movers. And I'm also doing like a piece with two b-boys like Michael Walker and Junior from France. Yeah. So it's going to be a b-boy duet, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I also have a piece with Gerson and Nea. They are doing like popping. But it's also a theater piece for younger kids, you know, going into a dream world, and they start doing popping. And there's also the guy, Ruud, he's doing beatboxing, you know. So I really tap into the hip-hop culture and bring it out there.
That's nice. That's a dope.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've done a lot of that. You've shared it with the hip-hop house thing, with the next generation, and now bringing people into that theater world.
Yeah, man. I think I own hip hop that. This is something that hip hop expect also from me, because hip hop gave me a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It gave me, you know, perspective. It gave me a theater company. It gave me dancing. I have to give back to the community, you know.
Yeah.
You cannot just take and take and take. You have to give back.
Yeah. No, 100%. And, you know, like, even just to think about, like, what you've done over the years from the early 80s to now, I think you have a longer lasting dance journey, especially with hip hop and street dance, than a lot of people. So I definitely wanted to ask you, like, what are some of the keys to longevity as a street dancer? You know, because you've been going, you haven't stopped, you're still involved.
Yeah. It's crazy because, you know, I kept working with a lot of different people. You know, I was not just focusing on one point.
Yeah.
I was putting it out there, you know, yeah. And some moment these same people, they call me back, you know, and it kept going and kept going. And it also kept me going.
Yeah.
You know, because I also always saw the positivity in it. So it kept me going, you know, and I tried to keep my focus also on the hip hop scene, going to competition, seeing people dancing, going to performances, going to different countries. You see, I love to see the B-boys breaking. I love to see the poppers popping, but I also love to see people doing locking, you know, or different hip hop styles, you know? So yeah. I love to be out there.
Yeah.
Get myself inspired, you know? And also the new generation is inspiring me a lot. Mm. I have to be honest, these last maybe 6 or 7 years, I didn't dance that much as I did before because of my bad knees.
Yeah.
But I still love dance and I still work with dance, you know? And if I could, I would still try to do small things, small moments. When you saw me at in awesome. Eindhoven,
yeah,
we also had like a small like judge demo.
Yeah,
I had to do it after many years.
Yeah,
and I had still have my bad knee, but you know, everybody was dancing, and I was like, "Fuck it."
Yeah,
if I mess it up, I mess it up, but I will mess it up right. You know, I had to do something, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like this, man, bro. Kept going and kept going.
Yeah. So I mean, your passion for it, like at the end of the day, like you, I mean, and most people in your generation, and I think even in mine, definitely never thought it was going to be a lasting thing.
For sure, for sure.
Because we loved it. And then.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And the passion got us through the tough.
Yeah, man, it's true. It's like this, you know, the style, the community, you know, it kept you going, you know. Yeah, man. And to be honest, also with the part of the hip hop house, seeing new students coming in.
Yeah.
People are really excited to want to learn, you know.
Yeah.
Going with them to jams, you know, so it really kept me there.
Nice.
Man.
Do you have any hopes for the future, like for street dance in general, like where you'd like to see it go and how you'd like to see it evolve?
I think we have, it's really big at this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a good thing.
Yeah.
If I have hope, I would say that we still gonna be as creative and creating your own style.
Yeah.
To stay true to the hip hop, you know, fundamentals. I would say this would be my hope. To make sure that everybody kept these few rules in their mind. While they being a part of the hip hop culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Try to be original. Be original. Be yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Try to be yourself. You know? I know it's hard.
Yeah.
It's easier to be like somebody else.
Yeah.
But being yourself makes you even much more stronger and beautiful the moment that you're going down, you know, and people are coming to watch you because it's you that is dancing.
Yeah, I feel that, and I see a lot of dancers struggle with the idea of like popularity. They want popularity. They want to be heard and seen. And to that need to be popular also coincides with this thing where you'll conform to someone else to do what you're supposed to be. It's a very easy process to lose yourself in the dance. It's so funny that like the dance, it like hip hop is for that. It's for like your self-awareness and learning who you are and like developing and your growth. But at the same time, it's also this thing where there's like popularity involved and people want to be cool and they want to be accepted and they feel like they have to fit in. So it's a very thing.
And it's true because people want to be popular, but you have to realize that being popular is just for a certain time. Because after you, there will be somebody else for sure.
Yeah.
And when this person is popular, maybe people will start to forget you. So make sure that you can be yourself.
Yeah.
And when when you are yourself, it will be until your last breath.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't depend on what people think of you. You know? So being yourself, I would prefer people to be themselves instead of wanting to be popular. Exactly. You know? Being yourself, for sure. If people like you, you will become popular for sure.
Right. You know?
But you will still be yourself.
Exactly.
In this popularity.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Another thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know how much you know about this, but Lial was telling me about bubbling in Rotterdam, that there's this
Man.
That like, I don't know when it started. Was that like after you started dancing and then this thing happened, or was that just always around, like people doing this?
No. Like the bubbling,
dance.
It started actually. Bubbling started in the beginning of the 90s when there was less hip hop.
Okay.
The new generation was starting doing bubbling dance.
Yeah.
And it was a really familiar dance. A lot of people liked it. It was really popular. You know, there were a lot of competition. And even with this bubbling, they would add like some waving and popping movements in it.
Yeah, I saw that when I watched the video.
Yeah. And now you have like Bubbling TV 2.0 on TikTok, I guess. And you would see crazy, crazy guys doing crazy stuff. Really beautiful, you know? To be honest, when I was like young, I didn't like bubbling that much because I was too much into hip-hop.
Right.
And I didn't dance bubbling. My little brother was doing it.
Okay.
But when I was last month, I was at IBE. And I was with these guys who were doing like a few of them bubbling. Then I start to act stupid. You know, I said to them, okay, now it's my turn. I'm going to do bubbling. And they were like filming it.
Yeah.
And they put it on TikTok, you know?
Oh, wow. Oh, shoot.
Here. But, you know, yeah, man, it was a dance from, I think it came from Rotterdam going to Amsterdam. And then it was around, you know, the whole country, you know, and these guys were like really creative doing their things. But I was too much in the hip hop with the hip hop feeling that I didn't want to hear anything about that, you know, when I was, you know, you're young and you're holding on. On that thing, you know?
Yeah, you had your identity, you were claiming your thing.
Yeah, man.
And it was it a Caribbean thing? Was it folks from like
And most of them were like black guys, Surinamese guys, guys from Antilles, Aruba.
Okay.
You know, most of them. They were also like white kids, you know.
Yeah.
And I also like a different culture, but most of these dancers who were doing it came from black countries.
Yeah. Okay. That's
yeah, man.
And again, that's that flavor you're talking about. There's these
exactly
in Rotterdam and in Netherlands that I can't explain, but like the diversity, like people are funky. And then you guys, like, that was one of the first places I went in Europe where someone told me, oh, we have a dance. Because that, again, in the States, when I go to cities, it's like, oh, we have a dance, you know? That was like a cool thing that I
always... Yeah, man. Yeah. And there were like a lot of competition, bro. You know, it was like really a city versus another city. It was like Rotterdam versus Amsterdam, you know?
Yeah.
It was really like this. And then you had the best bobbling dancers from Amsterdam and the best one from Rotterdam. And then a club would organize this type of competition. And at that time, many people came and watched the competition, you know? And these guys were doing like a combination of footwork in a specific way with robot movements, robotics.
Yeah.
Also type of waving, you know, in kind of battle energy.
Yeah.
And it was creative. Yeah, man.
Super cool. Yeah, here in D.C., we got Beat Your Feet is the dance style from D.C. And in Baltimore, which is only like 50-minute drive north, they have a Baltimore club. So there's like the Beat Your Feet guys here. They compete with each other. But then sometimes there's this D.C. and Baltimore rivalry of the styles. And it's interesting, but it's so fun. It's so such
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
But also, speaking of battles, like, were there some like epic battles back in the day that you remember, or maybe one you were a part of, like
these guys, they told me many things about battles. Like, also, like, I thought like something like this, that they were like in, I think it was Germany. And there was like the Rocksteady Crew were there, and they had a kind of battle against the Rocksteady Crew. It was also somewhere, I think, in the early 80s somewhere. But these are things that I heard from these guys, you know. And also the thing was, when we like dancing in the mid 90s starting, we had like a generation who was trying to get as many people into the culture. So in the beginning, there were not that many competitions.
Yeah.
Because the culture was growing, you know?
Yeah.
So the generation beneath us, the younger generation, they could, they were like more into the battles because the older generation was organizing it.
Right.
You see? You know, so there are a lot of things happening because there was a group or a generation who were like really trying to lift up the b-boy and the popping culture again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Was there call-out battles? Did call-out battles happen back in the 80s, 90s?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. Yeah, for sure. But it was like now, I think there are a lot more because it's even bigger than back then.
Yeah.
And there is also more to see in styles. There are more people participating in this culture. So there are more people to call out, you know?
Right.
If you disagree with somebody or something, you know? And I think like what these guys told me, like they were like also competitive because they wanted to be the best, you know? So, and also seeing the movies, it was most of the time also about battles. So seeing this, learning from this, you're going to adapt, you know, and try to do it the same in your country.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. That makes, I never really thought about that. like
yeah, man.
Watch a movie of what street dance is, and it's like this, like, battle.
You know?
Scene,
yeah.
But it makes like, sense. You know?
Yeah, because when we were like young, we were also watching a lot of like the kung fu movies. You know? Yeah. And then when the movie was finished, you was just fighting with your little brother.
Right. Yeah.
You know? It's you saw it and you were looking for somebody who you could kick his ass.
Right. You know?
Yeah. And you saw a lot of crazy flips and jumping in the kung fu movies. So you would add it also like the Chinese kick up in your breaking or in your dancing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same with the battles, you know. You saw these things, you saw Beat Street, you saw Freshest Kids, you know, you saw all these things, all these movies. And yeah, it's something that you're gonna you're gonna do it to yourself as well.
Me and my brother, it was WWF. We'd watch wrestling and we'd wrestle in each other.
Like in the 80s with how was his name? Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
You know, all this. Yeah, I know that. I don't know for sure if it was the beginning, but I know these names because back then sometimes we was watching it, you know?
Yeah.
And Iron Sheik, like kind of chic kind of guy with a big mustache, you know? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, kicking, falling on somebody, bam.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually that just ends up in your dance, you know? You end up, around and it becomes a part of your expression in some way.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But that's cool. And
I just realized I didn't mention his name, but there was also a guy like Frank. His name is Frank. He was really specialized in robotics.
Okay.
Really clean.
Yeah.
A guy from the Rotterdam, you know?
Yeah.
I will see maybe if I could find some place, somewhere footage, I will send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, please.
You know?
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but I'll show you next time I see you, or I'll just send you the link. But we're on Funk and Focus on my education platform. We've started a footage library. So basically, like all the footage that's already on YouTube, we're just organizing it, right? It's just free footage on YouTube, but we're organizing it so you could click through countries or cities in the US. Mm-hmm. Like I have a small section for the Netherlands. You'll see you click Netherlands, Robert. Yeah. Lloyd Marengo, it's got I think I have three people, but you know, like if you send me footage, I love to
learn man.
History and I can add those videos to the footage library. So even young dancers in the Netherlands can go on there, click the Netherlands and see people that paved the way.
Yeah. And, you know, because I have a lot of like video, but I have to put them, I have to digitalize them.
Yeah.
Or digitalize them.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly the right word. But I have a lot of video, you know.
Yeah.
Also, like I think at that time there were like not that much like camera, but Battle of the Year 97 film with a small camera, you know?
Yeah.
I have them somewhere, you know. But to make sure if I find some type of footage, I will make sure you get it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, we're like one thing I'm doing right now with Disco Dave from New York, from the Boogie Brats and like EB family is has a lot of DVDs of his home videos from back in the day. So like a few of us on the team, we're digitizing it for him. You know, like those VHSs, they don't really work anymore. The DVDs are going to be the next that won't really work after a little while.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
A lot of, you know, getting it digital is like, preserve it a lot right now.
Hey, I'm just thinking about something. There was also a guy, and I really liked him very much. He came from Minnesota, as I remember. His name was Dancing Dave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew Dancing Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how he was popping, you know?
Yep.
But I didn't saw him for more than 50 years, I think, now.
Yeah. I saw him at an event in 2018 or 19. And it was kind of like, oh, Dancing Dave's back. You know, it was kind of like he's been not in the mix as much lately. I'm not sure. I don't know him too well, but he kind of like jumped off the radar for a bit. But he popped back up recently, and now I haven't
oh,
seen
dope. Him. Oh, nice. Good to hear, yeah, man.
He's
because I was out. Thinking, like, how is he doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can try to put you in contact with him if you...
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. He came to the hip-hop house as well a few times, also, like, teaching, you know? Yeah. Great guy. Super yeah, I like him very much. Yeah.
So, you know, like, maybe last thing here, I just wanted to... Well, first off, just say out loud, like, you know, folks in the Netherlands, please contact Lloyd, hit him up. You know, like, I'm doing this in general to preserve general street dance, but I think it's important that dancers in the countries that they're in appreciate the people in the countries that they're in that paved the way, you know, mm-hmm. because that is a contribution to street dance and hip hop culture. So, like, you know, I hope people all over, but also in your country, can learn a little bit more about your story through this. And I hope that this encourages people to talk to you and just get to know you. But also, you would also help them right now to know who else they should talk to.
Yeah, for sure.
The other guys in the Netherlands that folks should ask questions to learn their country's history of street dance.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah.
You got any other names for folks to check into?
Like you said, but you mentioned his name already, like Jeffrey Roberts.
Jeffrey.
Popski, the legend. Venom, Mr. Solo. These like really like are more into popping. Sylphan. It's a great one. There are many, many more for sure.
Yeah.
But these are guys that are really like popping up in my mind, you know, like these guys that I know, they were really like into b-boying and popping or only popping, you know?
Yeah.
Edson, like I said, Edson Tamen. Yeah. I think these are all the guys from the, like, the older generation, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot this person, like, yeah, you send it to me. I'll try to write it in the information.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, also, don't, you know, like, it's impossible to remember everybody in this moment.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I know people also get really sensitive about stuff like this, but it's like there's so many people that actually did so much in so many different
ways. Yeah. But, sure. Yeah, but, man.
Yeah, but I'll, you know, like when I post this, I'll put your contact and, like, you know, whatever contacts you want me to put in there, I'll throw in the mix so people can hit you up and all that good stuff. And definitely they gotta go watch your videos, bro, because your style is tight and you're still good. I saw you like just a year ago. You're still killing it. So
yeah, to be honest, I'm trying. I would love to do it much more and more, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling, you know, that sometimes yes, it doesn't work out as well as you would like to. But I kept going. Thank you, my guy. Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to jump on here
man. And I also have to say I apologize because my English is not that good, you know, but I'm trying to communicate as much as I can in a way that you would understand, you know?
No, trust me. Yeah, I fully appreciate it that you have more than one language, because we're over here just stuck with it. thank you, man. I appreciate it. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much, man.
I'll definitely.
Thank you very much. Let me know when you're back in the Netherlands.
Okay, 100%.
Yeah, you be safe, my brother. Thank you very much.
All right, man.